Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have always thought that is one of the most beautiful phrases in any of our collects, that we may so in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. And it's more than a beautiful phrase. It suggests actually that the Bible is food for us at the very center of the common loaf with which Jesus feeds his hungry people. And the collect also suggests that we are fed by the Lord together, fed by each other through his word, just as in that story of the feeding of the 5,000 we started out with, grant us so to learn that we may embrace. The whole effect in that prayer is a very peaceable one, isn't it? I know you've just come from lunch and are probably feeling peaceable enough as it is, but just think of this kind of peace. Of course, in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples do have a little struggle getting there to the peace that Jesus gives in his word. When Jesus first gives them his word, which is, you give them something to eat, they don't like what they hear. But as I mentioned before, as they take the word in themselves in the form of the loaves, which he has blessed, and they begin to feed others with the word that he has spoken, then something changes. They start to relax. And the whole tone of that story of the feeding of the 5,000 shifts. It moves from a state of kind of high action and anxiety to a place in which the people sit down in groups of 50s on the green grass, and it all turns into a wonderful meal, by the end of which, Mark observes, they all ate and they were satisfied. They were satisfied. As they learned to trust the word of Jesus, they fed each other from that word, and as they fed each other with that word, they rested. Now, bring that into the context of our second priority, missional communities. The danger in that phrase, my friends, missional community, I will admit, is that it can summon up an image of a whole flock of us busy Marthas just running around out there being missional. It just, at the beginning, looks tiring. That's the trouble, though, with Jesus' disciples at the beginning of the story of the 5,000, isn't it? Many coming and going, so they had no leisure even to eat. The Lord wants to move them from that kind of mission, which is man-based, if you will, sort of out of human energies and initiative, and therefore completely exhausting. He wants to move them from that kind of mission to something deeper, something that is full of his provision. And that's exactly what they find. And what they found, we can find. As together, we feed each other from the word of God, we rest in him. So if the first key to our provision and rest for this Jubilee year is fellowship, I'd suggest the second needs to be the word of God. We need the kind of rest we can only find when we come together to hear the word of the Lord from one another as we read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Holy Scriptures. A community that has taken the time to be fed and rested in this way will become truly missional, will be able to do the work of God in the world without becoming drained or exhausted. We'll be focused on sharing the good news of Christ's mercy and hope with those who have not yet heard it, and will be fed by the same word we share. So what could that look like here in the Diocese of Pittsburgh? I know there are any number of parish Bible studies around the diocese, and that's a wonderful thing, but I keep having in mind something a little different. I've suggested we connect with one another through fellowship across parish lines, exploring partnerships between and among our parish communities, and I now suggest we study the Word of God in exactly the same way. Hearing the Word in informal groups from each other in different parts of the diocese will give us a clearer understanding of God's calling to all of us and to each of us. What that looks like, who knows? But there are plenty of ways to organize it that we might think of. This kind of study is already taking place across the Anglican Communion, and there's a particular expression of it called the Bible in the life of the Church. Mr. Stephen Lyon, who directs this project on behalf of Archbishop Justin Welby and the Anglican Consultative Council, is with us today. You can come, sir. And I've invited him to give us the view from 30,000 feet, as it were, regarding what Anglican congregations in different parts of the world are learning from each other so that we might benefit from their experience. Brother, please come.
Thank you. Well, first of all, can I begin by bringing the greetings of the Archbishop of Canterbury? He can't quite get everywhere. He's got a lot further than most Archbishops of Canterbury have, but he can't get everywhere, so when those connected to him go somewhere, then we bring his greetings. I've learnt at times from bitter experience that when you're asked to speak in a place where you know very little about it, it's worth doing a bit of research. And so I decided to have a look at the diocesan website to see what that would actually tell me about this particular diocese. And I was struck by those three aspirations: public gospel, missional communities, and leadership formation. And I asked myself the question, what is it that might link these three diocesan aspirations? And the conclusion that I came to is that one of the things that links all three of these aspirations is actually this book, the Bible. Why? Well, first of all, it gives content to gospel and mission. If we're not careful within the church, those two words can become extremely slippery. If anything is mission, then mission becomes nothing. So where do we look to for the content? But secondly, it energizes and informs community. Because we're not just any kind of community, we're actually a community of the followers of Christ. And thirdly, the Bible is a major catalyst for growth into formation. Quite a lot of research has been done in churches as to what helps people to grow. An engagement with Scripture, deep engagement with Scripture, is the main catalyst that helps those to grow. However, as Episcopalians, we engage with Scripture not just within the diocese, but also as part of a global family. And I came across this quotation, which I thought had an enormous amount of truth within it. As we read the Scriptures as part of the global church, as different emphases, reading styles and interpretations are shared, we are all reshaped as readers, and our eyes are opened to what we couldn't see from where we stand. I think that's true right across the global family, but I think it's true within different places within the global family. One of the other things I've learned to do when I've had an invitation, particularly an invitation to stay with somebody, is to see if I can find out a little bit about them before I actually embark on arriving at their front door. And one of the best places to go is actually the blogosphere. And I discovered this on the blogosphere about our esteemed bishop. Ask Bishop Dorsey why he's walking around the hotel lobby toting a video camera and tripod through the hotel lobby. He's travelling the world. Taipei to the Philippines, Uganda to Pittsburgh. Sitting with groups and inviting them to talk about a Bible passage. In each place he listens, he dwells close, listens deep. The finished video will gather all these voices so that we can sit and learn and discover Christ at each other's feet. That's how Jesus rolls. And we can follow. It's a wonderful statement. I'm going to pick it up. Because I think the Bible in the Life of the Church Project is seeking to roll alongside Jesus by offering three things that come from it. The first is that it offers some windows into the global family. Those are the places that were involved in the project. And they have something different but important to say to wherever we are. And it's by listening and looking at what other people are doing that perhaps we get insights into what we're doing. So the second thing it offers is some insights from that global family. And particularly insights in the way we engage with Scripture. The way when we open the Scriptures, we get from what's on the written page to applying it to the lives that we live, which is quite a sophisticated process. But I think we've got an enormous amount to learn from other people. And thirdly, the Bible in the Life of the Church Project has and is producing resources that make our engagement more intentional and take that engagement deeper. I put out on the pews this morning some of these postcards. And you will find three web addresses. Two on the side with the picture of Archbishop Justin and one on the front. These will take you to all the resources as far as the Bible in the Life of the Church Project is concerned. But I would say that the Bible in the Life of the Church Project needs you to add to it and share in it. I think it needs your parish, your diocese, your province. Remember, I'm from Britain. And our communion to work together as far as this is concerned. You'll find all the details and the goodies here. If, though, you'd like a copy of the beautifully produced report with the dynamic memory stick in the back with another 60 or 70 files on it, then I do have just a few left if you want to come and see me afterwards. But to finish on a serious note, if we're going to rest in Christ, then resting in His Word is vitally important. Thank you.
It's just so nice, isn't it, when you get good news out of the blogosphere. I avoid it like the plague, and so to have somebody actually bring something to me that's cheering is quite wonderful. Thank you. So just to conclude this second portion, somebody asked me when I was out to dinner the other night, well, you know, the diocese. I mean, what's the point of a diocese anyway? I wouldn't have felt so defensive if the question hadn't been coming from one of my own clergy. Yeah. But, you know, it is a good question. The answer, I think, lies in the kind of mutual learning that Stephen has just pointed to, taking place through millions of lives across the communion. Remember the Lord's invitation? Come, learn, rest. When we step beyond the bounds of our own congregations that get together in fellowship, we come to Jesus. When together we lay open His Word to us, we learn from Him. As we learn, we will rest. We'll find the provision we need to become truly missional communities, sustained, not drained, by the service we undertake. So, where do we begin? As Stephen has mentioned, I was inspired by the Bible and the Life of the Church project to take a kind of video adapter to my iPad, along with a tripod, in the trips I was going to make anyway, Uganda and Taiwan and the Philippines, because I wanted to bring back treasure for you. I chose one text to study with them all, the parable of the sower and the seed from the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel. I read this parable with African women in rural Teso, with two groups of Chinese young people in urban parishes in Taipei, very cool, and with a large multi-generational group of Abaknon people on the Philippine island of Capu in northern Samar. And I'd like to try the same thing here. As we get together over the next year for fellowship with one another and to hear and learn from the Word of God with one another, just for the first session of whatever groups meet, I ask you all to start with the same text, this parable of the sower and the seed, to learn how we hear it differently, particularly in each of our local contexts, where the hard ground is for each of us, where the thorny ground, where the stony ground in our lives, and where and what might be the good soil Jesus speaks of. And as we do so, I'd like to add the element that I took in my travels. I tried to record on video a lot of the studies as they were happening. I have a huge amount of unedited footage, but my hope is I might add to it with some video of you as you share the Word. And the result, I hope, will be this short film of all of these groups, five groups spanning seven or eight languages. That's four of those languages are the variants of English in Pittsburgh. And with Anglican Christians reading the Bible in four different cultures that can go around the world back to all the groups that have contributed, including you, so that once it's done, they and we can see and hear from there and our sisters and brothers and hear ourselves as well. And perhaps find in that enormous fellowship, again, another source of our rest. The point of that as well as the other resources Stephen has outlined, and which we'll be actively helping you and encouraging you to use. That little memory stick contains resources, which I think, Stephen, you said amount to about an additional 600 pages of supporting material that can help congregations get at the study of the Word to support you as you open the Bible of one another. The fact is, I think a lot of people in parishes are intimidated by the Scriptures. Reading them seems like work, not like rest. And part of what these resources can do is to take the drudgery out of the study of the Bible, so we can rest in the Scriptures knowing that we're getting something out of them. They can also provide a safe environment for conversation around and in the Scriptures. Someone else said to me yesterday, the reason it's easier, perhaps for some of us, to read the Bible with people halfway across the world than it may be to read it with another parish is because in the past, when we have said what we really think about the Scriptures here in the Diocese of Pittsburgh, sometimes we have often hurt each other. Well, you can't rest very well in a place that is not safe. So, I will find ways to work with you to develop a simple framework to be used in any setting to guarantee a peaceful and fruitful experience of the Word as we open it together, which, if we do right, could become a gift for the entire church. So there you have it. That's two out of three ways leading through our Jubilee year, our time of provision in Christ, fellowship with one another across the boundaries of our parishes, and reading and feeding together on the Scriptures. Two ways of holy rest that will deepen our public witness to Christ's love and strengthen our communities for mission. If you'd like to help in either area, you've got ideas for strengthening either venture, and a couple of people came up to me at lunch with exactly those things, please pick up the phone, send me an email, talk to me, to the canons, to our archdeacon, or you could just go ahead and do what you've got in mind and tell us about it later. Just please do tell us about it. Let the rest of us know what God shows you on this road, so we can share in your joy. And the third way is coming, and the best is yet to come.